Testing.
1, 2, 3.
Can you say something?
Something.
Something.
Oh, shut up. That is not our sync word.
Potato.
I'm going to move.
Potato. There we go. We've got our sync word. We've got potato.
Potato.
Yeah, potato.
Oh,
yeah.
Hang on, if I do.
Do I have to see my own face? This is very off-putting.
No. And you know how we feel.
Yeah, I would look at you because you don't have my face.
Yeah, you can see the two longest serving members of the group.
What's that, Sonny?
I need your ear horn. Al, can you say something?
Hello!
All crumbs.
Biscuits.
Biscuits, yes.
Slippers, pipe.
Are we allowed to use the word biscuits when Popey's next door? Because that was theirs, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Right, are we ready?
Yes, we're just going to come on.
Right, I think I'll have everybody come in.
Yeah.
Oh, we're slow waiting.
Okay. Let's wait.
There we go.
Tux Jam, combining Linux news with Creative Commons goodness.
Hello, hello everybody, and welcome to the first ever Tux Jam live recording.
Tux Jam.
Well, glad you asked that.
Yeah, what is Tux Jam? Good question.
Yeah, for those of you, just in case anyone here doesn't know, we are a four-piece quartet podcast.
A four-piece quartet.
Yeah, four-piece quartet.
Excellent.
We mostly look at open source software, mostly kind of not so much the bigger stuff, more of relatively unknown projects. And we also play, the jam part comes obviously from a bit of music, so we usually Creative Commons music, or indie. We actually aren't exclusively Creative Commons, we will play stuff released under copyright as long as we get the permission to play it. And to be honest, usually the smaller artists tend to release under CC for us anyway, so makes it a bit easier. So I'm Kevy, for those who don't know me. We have got Dave.
Hello.
Who's Dave?
We'll find out soon. Where is he? There he is. We'll find out soon.
We've got Andrew.
Hello, everyone.
And we have Mr. Alcy.
Hello.
Right, so usually on Tux Jam, we nearly always start with a wander down Distro Watch Lane, but I couldn't find it on the map of Manchester, so we're going to forego that. So what we're going to do this show, so we shall have a look at... Just discussed, we thought, just in case nobody came, we thought we'd have something to discuss. So we're going to discuss stuff that we've looked at over the years that we still use. So the stuff we review on Tux Jam, we very rarely ever have any background with it. We're just using it from fresh. And we're also going to take a look at stuff as well that we've discussed, stuff that we've looked at over and saw over the past 2 days. And just see what was our favourite things. And there will be a chance for audience participation at the end, the third section. That's a feedback section. So we will ask, actually, if you do have any questions, please leave them to the third segment. And then it means we're not actually sitting looking going, oh. Yeah.
And heckling will be met with being invited to become a co-host.
Yes.
Be warned.
Heckling means you're joining our team. Right then, so... I think that is pretty much us, and I've got an issue. The track listings are on my phone, which is cutting the camera.
Oh.
So somebody want to read out the first track. So we're not actually going to play this track, but what we'll ask you to do is, after we announce it, if we can just get a clap or something, just not edit in the track. Yeah. Yes, we are playing these live.
Oh, there we go.
Oh, here we go. Right then, so we have got track one. So this is Radio Nowhere with Molotov Heart. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hey, good morning. Got a warning from a friend. Let's pretend he didn't mention your name. She's just waiting.
detonating and you show you explode. Or I go up in flames and you say it's okay, but I wonder if you mean it. When every song that you sing is the blues, fill me up to the top. Don't you stop with gasoline and you're putting a match to my fuse. Yeah, light it on, coming apart. I got a Molotov heart. Got me drinking, got me thinking high octane. Tell me plain, do you want me to go? You're bartending, guess it's ending. Mix it up, fill my cup, you know it's gonna blow. And you say it's okay, but I wonder if you mean it. When every song that you sing is the blues, fill me up to the top. Don't you stop with gasoline and you put it on match to my fuse. Yeah, light it, I'm coming. Coming, I can tell the rebellion's about to start. Should've known, overthrown. Get your gun, I won't run. It's a shot to the heart. And you say it's okay, but I wonder if you mean it. When every song that you sing is the blues, fill me up to the top. Don't you stop with gasoline and you're putting a match to my fuse. And you say it's okay, but I wonder if you mean it. When every song that you sing is the blues, fill me up to the top. Don't you stop with gasoline and you're putting a match to my fuse. And you say it's okay, but I wonder.
Enjoyed that.
Yes, that was a great
A bit short, a bit quiet, but otherwise excellent.
Right then. So, who wants to go first? We'll pick on Al, Louis, I think.
Okay.
What have you been using? What have you kept on using that we have reviewed?
So, the main thing I've used is the Mealy project, which is a self-hosted recipe management tool. That was in episode 111, Make a Meal of It. And it is hosted in Docker, so it's really, or in a container, I should say, so it's really easy to run. And I've actually got it running live now at home, and it's got the wife approval, which is good. And it's really good to remember, I don't know if anyone else has issues, it is working out what should we have for tea this week. And what I've done is I've added all of the meals that I like, and we've been putting it in there. When we add it, we're remembering it, so that when we come to think, what should we have this week, we can go through and look at it. And then also, once we have cooked it, I then make sure that I then follow the instruction, I write the instructions of how to make it, and then take a nice photo of it. And the other thing I've used is what I like is the DataFrog one, which is a DataFrog S2000, which my kids actually love. It's a off AliExpress. It's a little handheld gaming device which you can play loads of retro games on. And thanks, Dave, he's got me into Dr. Mario, because before this, Tetris is my favourite game, but it's still not Dr. Mario is now my second favourite game. So that's what I've only kind of been a member, haven't I, playing the last couple of episodes. So, yeah. This is the first time we actually all met, isn't it? In
yes, life. Actually, yes, all four of us
have never been in the same place at the same time.
Correct. Yeah, because... Yeah. I live in Norfolk, which is right down in this country, and then you live in the Isles up the top.
Not Isle of Skye, no, Isle of Lewis.
Even further.
Even further than the top, so yes.
Yes. Right, Dave, anything that you're still using?
Yeah, so I'm a very, very rare poster on the Fediverse, except for the last 24 hours or so, where I've been incredibly annoyingly frequent in posting. Thank you. So I've kind of over time I went through StatusNet, the one that came after it, GNU Social, and onto Mastodon, which I'm on now. So I've self-hosted. I've used the services provided by other people, but in terms of the actual clients we've used. On the last episode, the most recent episode, 114, we reviewed one called Packly. I was going to say Patchly and hope that Andrew was going to shout at me and I forgot. called Packly, which is, I think it's a fork of either Husky or Tusky. I can't remember which, because they're both a fork of each other anyway.
Yeah, Husky's a fork of Tusky.
So I think it was possibly a fork of Husky. And it's a really nice Fediverse client. And whereas Husky, which is the one I was using beforehand, was kind of more geared towards the Pleroma family of Fediverse instances, the Packly seems to be more around basically anything that supports the protocol. So I've been using that now. Absolutely adore it. It kind of fits all of the requirements I have for a Fediverse client. Not that I have a long list of requirements for a Fediverse client, by the way. So, yeah, that's probably the one I've used the most. I was trying to think of some other stuff. I was using the Simple tools quite a bit until they sold out to I can't remember who. But there's now they came back again. They were forked by Foss something, I can't remember now. So you had a file manager, a calculator, a camera, a torch, a media player, and I was using I'm still using the file manager now, over and above the file manager that's available for by default on Android. So I'm still using that one as well. So yeah.
Wasn't it an attempt to build a sort of basic bare bones set of apps for a simple Android operating system? Was that?
Yes, that's right. There was the Simple Phone.
Yes.
Which I don't know whether it actually came to fruition or not. I know that they were trying to build it together as like the core utilities for Android.
I think it did go on sale, actually. I seem to remember it going on sale, but it was really expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, for what you got,
right.
Sadly.
No, exactly. Uh-huh. But yeah, the Simple Mobile Tools was an attempt to recreate the core apps that you would have got in whatever phones, Android phones you have, but fully open source. That was the plan. Mm-hmm.
Yes. That you done?
Oh, that is me done.
That is you done. Yes. Very good. Andrew, you still using anything?
Yes. Well, maybe. because I don't... It's one of the problems with having done it for over a decade and having 100 episodes is I struggle to remember what happened yesterday. So did we... Okay, let's say we did record a show where we reviewed Nextcloud Notes. We did, didn't we?
Yes.
Yes, good. Excellent. Well, that is Nextcloud, which was a fork of OwnCloud, which many of you will know, has this excellent app called Nextcloud Notes, and I really love it. Are you using it just
I'm actually using it right now, yes.
Brilliant, yeah. I use it on my phone all the time.
I'm using that too.
And I've got it on all my different devices, and it just works. It's so simple. It's just a text editor. You can use it, except you can, well, it's a note taker, generates text files. You can edit the text files in a regular file system, and it just Nextcloud notes syncs and updates them like it would any other files. The app on my phone is dedicated towards Nextcloud notes, but on my laptop, it's just sitting there amongst all my other Nextcloud files. So I find that is probably the number one most essential thing that I run my life with, especially since I can't remember anything. If I've written it down in Nextcloud Notes, then there's a fighting chance I'll remember I have done and find it again. So yeah, Nextcloud Notes would be my number one pick.
Oh, right. I must admit, I've actually quite a few that I'm still using. The one that straight away springs to mind is we reviewed a launcher for the Android system called KISS, Keep It Simple Stupid, and it took a wee while to get used to, I have to confess, but I persevered with it. And now it's on anything I've got. So if it's a tablet, a phone, it's always on it. So the beauty with KISS is you just type in what you want. You can have four quick launch. I think you can actually have five if you want, but it tends to, I find that squashes the quick launch icons a bit too much. And you can just start by just typing what you want, and it'll come up straight away. Now, the beauty is it's not just apps. If you're also, it'll also search for contacts, and you can message or phone them directly from that without actually going into anything else. What it does, the ones you've used, this is, I don't think it keeps contacts, but the apps that you've used are the ones that it will list. So if you use the same apps four or five times, you don't need to type. They're right there, you know, if you're constantly using them. It's actually great as well that you can search for contacts without actually having to go into the contacts file itself, app itself, and then search through. It does all that for you. So I really do like that. Patchly as well, I've been using that. I will pre-warn you, if anybody decides to use it, that I'm not a huge user of Mastodon. I will go through bursts and things, but I'm usually there, and if I get a message, I will respond. But I'll like maybe go two or three days without being on it. And the one thing I did quite like, although Dave thought this was a killer feature with Husky, was when you went back to it, it had the load more, but it basically only gave you a certain number of posts. If you're just scrolling, Patchly will load every single Mastodon post. So if you've gone through 3-4 days without being on it, that's a lot. So and it's not obvious. This is one thing I don't like about it is, it's not obvious. If you go to the top right three dots menu, there is load, go to first or latest post. That's been a bit of a lifesaver for using it. So the one reason I quite like it was I found an awful lot with Husky and Tusky. Because they're designed for different platforms, there's a lot of features there that I want to use and I can't. You know, so if you want to react with an emoji, it's there, the option's there, but you can't do it because Mastodon doesn't support that. Whereas Patchly is actually designed purely for Mastodon. So anything that's there, it's there. So it's usable. So that's one thing I really did like about that. As far as distros go, I actually, believe it or not, we always review really obscure distros. The longest I've spent has been about 6 months having it as my daily driver. The problem with really obscure distros I found is if it's somebody's hobby, we all know hobbies. Are we on the same hobbies we've had, you know, for the last year? A lot of people tend to kind of tail off, so I was finding updates and things a bit more difficult. So to be honest, I'm actually currently using Linux Mint as my distro, so but not something we'd really review. It's not really a Tux Jam one. Although I'm getting a thumbs up there. So as far as applications go, we recently reviewed Waydroid. I had never heard of this, and to be honest, I felt stupid after it. The Droid I got, yes, so this is to run Android applications on the Linux desktop. Of course, I never twigged on what Way actually stood for. It is only exclusively for if you're running Wayland. You cannot run it with other compositors. As I think Andrew hit a brick wall trying to run this on X.
No. I was the one that realised it was only for Wayland.
But you hit the brick wall, though, didn't you? We didn't have that.
Oh, no, yeah. It's because I thought the Ubuntu I was using was based in Wayland, but it turned out to be Ubuntu Mate, which wasn't.
Right, that's yes. Yes. So just be warned if anyone does want to try that. The other thing as well, which I think just about everybody I've spoken to over this weekend has actually said way, way, way back. This it wasn't myself. I think it was you were there with us. We first reviewed NewPipe, and NewPipe is definitely, in my opinion, the best YouTube app. In my opinion, but The beauty of it is, I found it's actually the best one as well, using it on Waydroid, because I haven't found one that I'm happy with on the desktop. And I just hate watching YouTube adverts. So, and it's a good way as well. I mean, if you're in a place like where I am, in the remotest part of Scotland, you can go a long period without any signal, essentially. So it's good for, you know, downloading, saving things, so you can actually listen back or watch them on a journey, something like that, which, like I said, I find that really useful. So I think that is the majority. Yeah. Oh, I am still using, what's it called? Tuba. I'm still using Tuba for Mastodon on the desktop. But, well, I'm getting a shake of the head there, but I just haven't come across many others, to be honest. It's lack of choices. So if you save that thought, George, tell us an alternative.
I can tell you.
Yeah, tell in the third section.
I will.
Please do.
Going back to your point about KISS, the launcher, I was using that as well, even though it didn't really lend itself particularly well to use on a large format screen like a tablet. The concept around it and how it operated with your list of applications, you could create your favourites at the bottom. I really enjoyed that. And then I became weak and found a proprietary launcher that did a lot more of what was more appropriate to me. So I ended up ditching it for that, unfortunately. But no, KISS is a good launcher.
And actually, I disagree with the doesn't lend itself well, because I use it on my 11-inch laptop. That 11-inch tablet. I've not learned how to install it on the desktop yet. But so actually, I'm quite happy with it on that.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah. But that's... if it works for you, yes, then absolutely, yeah.
Totally. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Gosh, we've never been able to hit each other before.
Oh, nice.
I don't know why that thought.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Right, anybody, any other ones that popped in or anything?
I'm just listening to see if Popey's got any suggestions.
Normally when we're recording, this little recording lasts 4 hours, and I'm thinking at this rate we're going to be done in 40 minutes.
No, I think that's it.
No, I'm trying to even go through everything that I've still used. I mean, I think one thing is certainly with... I can think of a lot of things that I used to use, but they just stopped being developed, especially in the early days of Android. We were talking recently about... Macno, Michelle.
Oh,
and,
yes.
You know, and we used to use quite a lot of his apps, and you ask most people now, they've forgotten him. He seems to have dropped off.
Yes, in Identica days, where I think a lot of this started, not, I don't mean just TuxJam, but a lot of the projects here, and maybe even OldCamp, started there. It was Mustard, wasn't it?
Yes.
Mustard.
Mm-hmm.
Was, and I've got a lot of fond memories of tapping Mustard, and then suddenly hours of my life would vanish.
Yeah, yes, but also there was another project that he created called Broadcast.
Broadcasting was fantastic.
BRDCST.IT. And that was one of the only post-distribution services that supported what the Fediverse was then, mm-hmm. out of the box. There are very few that I've found now that will actually allow you to post to Mastodon or any mm-hmm. of the other Fediverse services, which is a shame.
It is a total shame. So
I can think of something you reviewed on the show that you still use, and you got your family into TuxCart.
Have we reviewed? No, we never reviewed TuxCart. It was the 8-bit Pro.
Oh yes, still use that.
Do we still have the controller?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. So we a few episodes ago, we Kevin and I reviewed the 8-bit Do.
8-bit Pro, yeah, 8-bit Do, I can't remember which one it was.
SN30 Pro, I think.
That's
it was.
SN30,
just off the top of head. Which was almost like a NES...
No, SNES.
SNES. SNES, sorry, SNES. Style controller. Supported Bluetooth, supports wired mode. And playing Super TuxCart on that is just utterly divine. And I know that may sound really weird, but it's such a nice thing to hold. I know you had...
I had cramping issues with it because it's a, the problem is, it's a, imagine a SNES controller with the two analog thumbsticks, and I was doing this, and I was like, my word, these are cramping up. Yeah. They do an option which looks more like a PS2 version, and I was like, I actually, in retrospect, I would go on
the handles.
Yeah, with the handles. Yeah. I would get that. But one thing I will say is, it is so small. I mean, it's not much bigger than a phone. It's, and you can actually put it in a pocket. It is so portable.
Yeah,
I did take it away, actually, and I was playing playing a game on the flight on the tablet, and it was actually really good for that, I must admit, because I just pulled it out. It didn't take up much space in the thing. So, yeah, that one has been. We've
Well, another, I just thought, another one that I still use, it was suggested by Chalcolum, who's not here, but maybe will be listening to this at some point.
Possibly.
And he suggested something called CMUS. Do you remember that?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah, and it was a Curses-based music player. So Curses, for those of you that don't know, it's like a graphic user interface that works in a terminal. So I think a TUI, a textual user interface.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I quite like those, actually. So to have a music player, very low weight, lightweight, low resources, just plays the music, and I flip over to the terminal occasionally and start a new playlist. I really like that, actually, so I still use that.
Still use that. And you just got me thinking from that very episode. Yeah, I still use Lynx, and I still use Mutt. Not as an everyday thing, but one of the things I have found is, if I am doing a project where I'm just needing to purely research, I mean, we all know what it's like. We'll go online and we'll be distracted. We'll go on to, we'll watch something on YouTube, or we'll go and do some, start playing a game or something. Some these annoying things that will kind of pull you away. But one thing I found is, if you haven't tried Lynx, now I would recommend, my personal favorite is LYNX, the Lynx, but there is an LINKS as well. But it's just running with the browser on text, basically, pure text. You don't get any annoying ads. You don't get anything coming in with it. And it's purely great for research. You are looking for that, you will get that. And the good thing is, we reviewed Dillo recently, and the biggest, that's a great concept, you know, nothing actually coming except text, but we all had kind of mixed results, let's say, especially depending on what web page you were looking at. But Lynx really does put it in a very readable way. So, yeah, that's something that actually I'd forgotten, actually. But if I'm doing anything where I need to do work, just work and not be distracted, then I would highly recommend Lynx to anyone.
It's an Android application, or is it?
No, on the desktop. No, because it's used through the terminal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's another TUI app.
Oh.
Yeah. Using Curses.
You could probably use it on Turnix if you wanted to, under Android. That's something we should review, actually, Turnix. Mm-hmm. Done that yet, have we?
No, we haven't.
I use that a lot.
Yeah, so do I.
Mm.
Anyway, anybody else? Any others? I was going to say, is it time for a tune?
Yes.
You just do it, John.
Oh, yes. Sorry. I'm the glamorous assistant.
Right then, so track two. We have got Tony Peterson with Lucky One. Then we can do it.
Standing at the top of a long green hill, I said, if I don't do it now, I probably never will. I bet you don't remember, cause I say corny stuff like that all the time. My head hanging low on the road again, been throwing roses at your feet like the grave of a friend. I'm slowly coming back to life like a midnight ghost that scares the hell out of the young kids and some of the old. Oh, to be the lucky one, welcome back like a prodigal son. Simply being off the promised land, it's yours if you can keep it in the palm of your hand. Turn you on in my weird little ways, instead of passing through each other, hardly catching eyes, and maybe being noticed like a tenth of the time. I see you gathered in light on the edge of town, like an indie hero with your hair all down. I want to stand and stride, want to learn to sing your song in a broken two-part harmony, and I care if it's wrong. Be your love. Some things in life that crumble down. I cheeked a poison pill of whatever came around. But now I'm really trying to give you the time of your life once again.
Strange not drinking beer in
front of us. It is. There's something. Nobody have a beer in front of us.
I was thinking, I feel strange. And yeah, I'm sober.
Yes, aye.
Cheers.
And it's, I mean, this is normally a 12 hours from now.
Hours.
Yes.
I was
going to
say, is there a bit of a data correlation? More alcohol, more talk.
Yeah, that is exactly how it works.
Quick, so someone give them
I was going to say, if anybody wants to bring us four beers, I'm more than happy. Each. That's just to start with.
They've only got the Burumereti.
That's a good point, actually. Yeah.
We drank all the good whiskey already.
Yeah. Hopefully that's one thing we did make a dent in their profits. Or not a dent, we a dent in their up their profits and their a dent in their resources.
In
yes.
Your wallets.
Yes, a dent in our wallets, yes.
Yes. Mm. Right then, so now we thought we'd go on to, and this is something we didn't do actually, we were meant to do at the start, saying what was our Og Camp experience, but specifically, you know, this today, so the last 2 days, what we're going to talk about, what we really enjoyed, what different things we experienced, stuff we didn't anticipate, something like that.
Yes, so, and Kevin, you've never done it before.
This is I'm a total noob, so this is a first time. For anyone who doesn't know me in the real world here, I am a teacher, and teaching in Scotland, the councils are, let me think, can I get time off? No. If I take it unpaid, can I get time off? No. So it can become very expensive to take time out when it's outside of school time. So, yeah, this is my very first one. But tell you what, I'm going to actually go the opposite way, though, because I think I need a drink. Like, so we'll start far end. Dave, what have you enjoyed?
Well,
come on, it's not that hard. There's people out there that you've gone to their talks.
No, I mean, Og Camp for me, I mean, this is my fourth outing to Og Camp. First one was in 2014 when we were down in Oxford. It was just myself and my elder two that came down, and it was a great experience. But what I did find about Og Camp in general, and it has held true throughout each of the Og Camps I've been to, so I've also been to Sheffield in 2018 and Manchester, I keep saying last year, Manchester in 2019, was that I went in with great intentions to go and visit all the different talks that were there. And I used the joined in a scheduler in advance, like a complete nerd, and tap the little star on each of the ones I wanted to go to. And in the first one, the one in Oxford, I think I went to about 3 talks overall. Because I ended up bumping into people who I knew, people who bumped into me knowing me, and I'm like, how do you know me? Who are you? I don't know who you are. And it, for me, this is more of a networking event than it is an unconference. And that's not to play down any of the talks and the talks I've been to. Some of the talks I've been to have been fantastic. No, all of the talks I've been to have been fantastic. And I've done about 6, I think, this time. More than I've ever done in an on-cam previously, just as a guy. But for this one specifically, I have been clamoring. I think a lot of us in this room have been clamoring for an on-cam for the past 4 years. This is a much welcome return to the event, certainly from my perspective. If I had to call anything out specifically about what I've really enjoyed about this, I can't. I really can't. Just being here, being around a whole bunch of like-minded, similarly driven nerds and geeks. No offence intended.
That's a compliment. That's what you're talking about.
If I said dweebs, I think I would have had things thrown at me. Has been such a great experience, and having the kids and the wife here as well has really made things great. If I had to call out the one thing I think that was missing, I think it would be the kids track. We spoke about this previously. The first time I went to Odd Camp in Oxford, I actually stood outside one of the toilets, it was, with a recorder. In fact, that recorder.
This is some bad, Dave.
I know people are open minded, but we don't want to push the boundaries here.
This is family friendly.
I'm not the only person in this room that jumps on people as soon as they come out of rooms.
There he is.
Yeah, there he is.
Getting worse.
We had a really nice conversation. Graham Morrison from what was Linux Voice. He was there. There were a couple of other people. I can't remember the names of them right now. We had a really nice conversation about a kids track, having kids more involved. I do remember in 2014 that my eldest two, they spent, there was a hardware hack event going on at the same time, and they were learning how to do soldering and stuff like that. And it was such a great way of doing it. And of course, it meant I could leave the kids and go off and do my own thing as well.
Kids track is not a crash.
Kids track is not a crash. No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely not right. I admit I did maybe slightly abuse it there. But yeah, I genuinely hope that at some point in the future, the concept around Sprog Camp, which is something that it was mooted to be called a few years ago, becomes a genuine thing. So, yeah, Odd Camp, absolutely love it. I'll be back next year. Well, hopefully we'll all be back next year, if there is one, wherever it is. But, no, it's been a really good event this year, definitely.
Good. Andrew, how about yourself?
Well, I mean, I was actually going to say what Dave just said, is you're that on. It is... so I won't bother.
No, you're not getting out of that easy. You've got to make up some nonsense.
Okay, well, one nice thing is you come to this place and you meet people you've not met before. You maybe knew of them, like Shane, who's sitting over there from the Linux Lads. Yeah, it was nice to...
You've got to name everybody now.
I don't know all their names. There's Jim and there's Bob. Hugo. No. The other thing is, I actually quite like going around the stalls having a nice chat with people there. I haven't done enough of that this time. Of course, I have to make a special shout out to the HPR stall, Ken and Dave and Mr. X. HPR's been a cousin to this show ever since they told us, no, you can't put your shows on HPR. And we said, but somebody was putting on our shows in HPR for years, and nobody knew who that was. That was weird. Wasn't us. Wasn't them. Mystery. Anyway, yeah, a quick plug for Hacker Public Radio. If you want to do podcasting, but you can't be bothered setting up a podcast, You can either do what we do in Tux Jam and just
pretty much just do it anyway.
Just do a real hash job and hope it works. Or you could just record a show for HPR and something you find interesting. And as Ken Fallon will tell you, you don't need to make a high production value thing out of it. Just record something on your phone and send it in, you know? So that's a great thing. The other thing that I've enjoyed the lightning talks. I actually gave one earlier on. I really like lightning talks. They're real mixed bag, and you're getting dum-dum-dum-dum of ideas. So I like those talks that I didn't go to. I've been to all the talks, obviously, but I enjoyed a chap called Terence yesterday gave a talk about Activity Pub, which stood out in my mind because he actually went through. You know, like, Activity Pub is what sits behind Mastodon. And after watching his talk, I thought, yeah, I can actually write bits of JSON and, you know, you can see how it works, you know. That was quite good to get that across in a relatively brief talk. So I enjoyed that very much. There's been quite a few things, of course, that I've enjoyed, and I'm not saying everything else has been rubbish, but I haven't seen everything. And that's the problem, of course, with a thing like Og Camp, is you kind of feel, oh, you wish you could go to everything, but if you try, you'll get talked out, you know, you get burnt out. Yeah. So I've really enjoyed it, just a real mix of chatting to people at the stalls, hanging about and, you know, just chatting to people and then going to a few talks. That's been great, actually. It's been great so far.
Yeah, good. Excellent. Right, Al, how's your feedback from Al?
Yeah, I think, Dave, about the kids' track is going to be the main thing I'd like to see. Obviously, Gary's rearranged it for this year, sorting it out. He wanted to get it back on the feet before we could run with it. But I think Oscar, my son, he's definitely heard me talk about it and think he'll be old enough to come next year to bring him along. Definitely remember going on one of the early ones when we were doing Minecraft hacking on the Raspberry Pi. That things like that was really interesting. Yeah, I mean, I love the talk. I like coming to meet people because I mean, when I came back in 2014 when I came to Oxford, I didn't know anyone at all. All I'd done was listen to like the Ubuntu podcast and Joe shows, and I've heard about what Org Camp was, and then like I didn't know anyone. And it was so nice that you could come along, and I met Jerry from who's not here this weekend, unfortunately. But and then I met everyone else, and then just kind of get to start to know people. It's really nice about how you can. I mean, we were in the bar, weren't we, on Friday night, and there was a couple of people with us, like not knowing who you were. We just like introduced Joe to our table, kind of thing. And that's the thing I like about it. And the one thing I don't like about Org Camp is not the thing. Org Camp is that when you get a talk. When you can't decide what talk to go to, when there's two talks on at the same time, that's the bit I don't like, but there's nothing you can do about that.
Well, we really appreciate you not going to Poppy's talk.
Yes, I would. In fact, yes, can we say that to everybody? We really appreciate you not going next door.
Yes, thanks for supporting us.
No, but they're definitely good talks. I mean, you never know what you're going to find out. I mean, and I'd go back to work and talk about it because there's two talks which are really good, which was defending your website with WAF, which we talked about last time, the WAF offend mint joke, with the open source web. I can go about that. And again, I forgot about Andrew Howe, who I met at a previous Org Camp, but then obviously with everyone coming off Twitter, you lose contact. And and another one was obviously John Spriggs with his a guide for Kubernetes guide for Docker users. Was a really good talk because we're looking at doing Kubernetes for work, and it made me want to go and learn about it more. So yeah, it's really interesting with the talks.
Yeah, good. Well, so as I said already, this is my very first. So I genuinely actually didn't have much idea. I mean, I had a rough idea hearing people talk about it. But I didn't know what to expect. And actually, from hearing a lot of people talk about it, I was actually very worried, thinking when Dave signed us up. I was hearing the late nights that were happening Friday, Saturday. I'm thinking, am I going to be able to talk Sunday morning? That was my biggest concern. So, no, I behaved myself last night. We were actually rather muted last night, to be honest.
Yeah, it also isn't morning.
Eh?
It's not morning just now, it's afternoon.
No, but we still had to think about it, though. Yeah, so, no, the biggest issue with me was just timings, because I just couldn't come down when it was on during term time. So when I saw this one, I think we agreed. When was it? Christmas it was announced, roughly. Yeah. And we said straight away, I can go. So this has been like a total Christmas morning, child of Christmas morning to me. I've really enjoyed it. I found that as well. That was a problem. I think just obviously the initial enthusiasm. I want to go to that, want to go to that, want to go to that, want to go to that. And then these guys are going, Kevy, these are all on at the same time. You can't go to everything. So there's been a few that I really did want to go to that I just couldn't, because I can't be in two places. To be honest, the one that stuck out for me, if I had to pick a favourite talk, was actually the one I just went to earlier on today with Millie Perkins about home automation. I really enjoyed that, yeah. And I've looked into it, Home Assistant, but I never had. And, you know, as she said, you know, it looks intimidating up on the screen, but she just started with lights, you know, basic, keep it basic, and then add on to it. I really enjoyed that. And something that was rather scary. I mean, I must admit, we're all guilty of that, aren't we? Look at what we can do. It's like, yeah, but we're not really showing the progress, are we? So I really enjoyed that. But to be honest, as much as I've enjoyed all the talks, the best thing I've found has actually been meeting people. So many for the first time, not everybody, but so many for the very first time away from the keyboard. And like I said, I've made quite a number of yous through video chats and things, but it's never the same, is it? You know, so meeting everybody here. And to be honest, you know, the way to 2020 came, you know, you were thinking, are we ever going to get back to conferences and meetups and things? So we're hopefully trying to get, we say this actually every year since COVID, we need to get the Podcrawl Glasgow going again.
Yes.
So
yes, that was an in-person
one.
Podcrawl, yeah. We went in Glasgow and drank beer.
Although in saying that, the good part of, maybe the one good thing about lockdown was, it forced us to make a group online, which we never really used before. And then, so if anybody does want to join, please, you're welcome to join us, Podcrawl Telegram it is now. Yeah. Well, it was Podcrawl Jitsi, but we converted. So Podcrawl Telegram, and we meet up. We usually meet up at every couple of months, roughly. And you can be on for as long as you want or as short as you want. A few times Dave's been on far too long. With a certain Mr. Resington.
Yeah. Thankfully, I've not bumped into Joe this weekend. Otherwise, I would probably be a little bit messy right now.
Yeah, so, but the good thing about that, I mean, obviously it's great meeting up with everybody as well, though, in Glasgow and, you know, going to the different bars. I suppose the biggest issue there is we've got people like sort of Rob from New Zealand. But with all the will in the world, he's not coming to Glasgow for a pub crawl.
No.
You know, quite a few the other side of the pond as well. Who, you know, just realistically, it's a very expensive pint to get over here.
Well, that's the thing we found when we did the first virtual pod crawl, is that the number of people that turned up to it was far beyond what we ever could have expected in person.
Yes.
We had, who's the other chap from New Zealand that came on the first one we had?
Oh, yes.
Klatu,
yes.
He popped up on the first one, and we're like, wow, this has gone completely international. rather than within 200 miles.
Yes,
so exactly. It was really good in that respect.
Yeah, well, one other thing about coming and meeting people in person that I find a bit strange is you discover that these voices have faces.
Yes.
And if you've been using like Jitsi or Zoom or whatever, and then you discover that actually they exist from the neck down, and then when they turn their head, you see them in profile, and, oh my word, they're three-dimensional. But so it's really important to, I think, to, if you've made a friend online, at some point try and meet them in person. Mm-hmm. And Old Camp has done that several times.
Yeah. Although I do have to admit that one wasn't a conflicting with the schedule. I think it was yesterday morning I started, I've been doing HPR for a wee while, but I really became a bit more active, let's say, this year, after a bit of a gap. And I got to talk with the HPR guys. And yeah, I went to go to the show. After yarning, I went to go into the talk as they were leaving. So I did. Hashtag blame Ken.
Yes. So they did that to me this morning as well.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was good. I got there just in time for the clap, clap, clap. All right, I really was talking too long. But I mean, at the end of the day, that probably was one of the best experiences I've had over the 2 days. So I don't regret that at all. Except it's been good as well, though, the fact that it's a bit of a split almost, in that there's, you know, the talk during the conference or during the days, shall I say. And then it seems almost like a slightly bit more relaxed at night, although last night did disprove that with being seated and then being trying to order three times only to be told, we don't have any food left.
Yeah, somebody had eaten all the food in Manchester.
Apparently,
last
yes. Apparently, yeah.
Who was it?
Thinking about this event specifically, given that you're the only person, Kevy, that hadn't been out of the four of us to Tour Camp before, we hyped it up quite a bit to you. How has your experience of the event compared to the hype?
I'd say it was actually pretty. I was worried myself because I was really looking forward to it. It was kind of, you know, kind of coming down the plane was almost like the child running down to Christmas Day. Come on, we're on the gate. And that was genuinely how I was like. I was kind of feeling like that. I wasn't quite as bad to the stewardess or anything, but I was worried myself going as I was coming down the train. I thought about it. Myself and Andrew came down the train. I was thinking, am I building this up far too much in my own mind? You know, is this going to be a bit of a letdown? But I'm so glad to say it hasn't been. It's been great. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. So obviously you guys are actually, when you're describing it online, you're doing a good job. You're not building it up too much. So yeah, I've really, really enjoyed it.
No, that's good. That's good to know. So you'll be back again next year if there is one.
If there is one and it coincides with my holidays, this is the thing I have to do. Otherwise, like I said, it's expensive enough getting down off the island anyway. So to put it into perspective, guys, it costs me as much to come down here as it does to fly off to the continent. So internal flights are so expensive. So as long as it is during holiday time, I'll be back here. Yes.
No worries.
Yes. Right, I think it's about time for a tune.
What do we reckon?
That means unlock.
Yeah, yeah, cash right, so. By the walk.
Hey? Do we pay that guy?
Oh, you've got. Yeah. Al, what's our tune?
It's Luke Cash with Walkman. We'll be right back.
last one is Anders' one.
Yeah. I'm not pronouncing that.
No,
that's my job. I realised after I selected that, oh no,
it's the first thing I said.
I don't speak Dutch. Does anyone speak Dutch? Oh, Ken. Ken's yeah. He pretends he speaks Dutch because he lives there.
Right then. So, yeah, so this is a point in the show where we come to our feedback section. And we've got live feedback. Yay! Yay. Which means we might actually have feedback.
Yay!
Right, so what I was thinking of is that we maybe kind of divide this up a wee bit. You can ask us any questions you like about this, about the show. But also, if anybody has any recommendations for us to look at, any apps, any desktop, or even any music tracks... No, put that away. It's got to be open source. That's banned. If you've got any recommendations, we maybe leave that for the second half.
How did he get in here?
that's my bass.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. Yannick is holding up an Apple MacBook.
Hey, it's a family-friendly show.
I'm swearing.
Right, so any questions, sorry. Given this is a well last segment, that's a quick last segment.
How did it feel doing it face-to-face rather than
from afar and with Andrew? Yeah, I missed the beer. I'm being honest, I missed the beer. It's just alien.
Did you
feel
a bit of pressure with
it
being a live audience as well?
Oh, actually, I think it kept us on task quite a bit. Because genuinely, I mean, this would have taken us probably about 3.5 hours to record.
Yeah.
Being married one, I can confirm that. It'll only be an hour, 4 hours later, and a bottle of rum later.
Or after having had the recorded, and then like 3 days later, Amazon comes with a bottle of alcohol that I'd ordered while I was driving. Yeah.
Yes, that's true. It's some nights where I think, why is my hard disk filled up? Why do my legs not work anymore? Why is it 3 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah. Yeah, it's really not fun going in to teach a bunch of kids after 3 hours sleep. It's awful.
But I don't think we've ever recorded a proper episode. We have done episodes shorter than this, but that was for like 0.5 episodes.
Yes, I updates and things. Yep.
But no, usually our cut down episodes, I think the final versions, are usually between 1.5 and 2 hours.
Well, I usually always try and get them down to under one, about 1:30.
Yeah.
Usually.
Yeah. So, and there's some words we must never say at the beginning, and that is, let's try and keep it shorter tonight.
It doesn't work.
Yeah, it does the exact opposite.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
Yes.
But no, this has been a good experience.
It has, yes, absolutely.
Yeah,
thoroughly enjoyed
definitely.
It.
If your recommendation, you liked the one about Home Assist, you should have a go at Home Assist, get other people and see what you'll come up with.
Yes.
That's probably something that we need to do over a period of time.
Well, that's what she was that's what she was saying. You know, it's not a weekend. I mean,
each do a project each, and if you all do a project that works, then you'll build
we could do it with one episode where we have to install it, different ways of installing it, and how we experience that way.
Now, I'm disappointed, Ken, you didn't immediately shout out, that sounds like an HBR episode.
As it happens, we have a Home Assistant series where we're doing just that one. Into the install of each of the subcomponents and then build on that. So you're more than welcome to maybe review one of those episodes and then comment about how you got on.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. And then somebody can make an HPR reviewing our review of the episode that we reviewed for viewers.
And she gave some really interesting news cases. So you'd have to see if you can find any use cases that
I loved that.
The good list.
Yeah, there was one, for those of you who weren't there, there was one which was, it was connected to the council API and it was a wee plastic wheelie bin. And it lit up the day it was due to go out or the day before. Like if you had a green bin, it lit up green. But they had one like where it was like, was it like black and blue or something? It was two-tone anyway. So that meant two bins, the blue bin and the black bin. I thought, that is fantastic. I've got to look at that.
Yeah, I'm actually quite keen to do that one.
Well, I'm keen because the current way is, look out. Right, who's got the bins out?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
And of course, usually it's after I've driven out, I've gone out the gate. Yeah. Oh, I said, back in.
I did find the suggestion that our local council would have an API that I could go into.
Well, that's quite a bit ambitious.
Yeah.
But I suppose though, at the same time, you don't have to do that with a council API. You could probably set that up as a cron job or something, because it's always at the same time. Well, everyone's at.
Yeah. Yes,
you know, it's always.
And I've put them all into our shared calendar, so we could probably dig into that.
Mm-hmm.
That would work.
You think your council can spell API?
Probably not.
Great question. I'll find out.
No other questions, guys? Any recommendations you want us to try? Any apps you use on the phone, anything like that?
What is your origin story of the podcast?
The origin, well, yeah, okay then. The origin of the podcast was purely, I got into podcasting roughly the same time I got into Linux, but first, of course, was just listening. And I was listening to Dave's show, the Bugcast. I was listening to, I'm trying to think of all the ones. Rathole Radio, the Edinburgh Man I really got into.
Oh, yes.
He still posts on the Mastodon, but he doesn't really release much anymore. Dave, do you know what his name is? I can't remember his name off the top of my head. No,
I can hear his voice, but...
This is a question about media. Before the internet, we had 5 mass media: print, recording, cinema, radio, TV. Would you agree that eventually all of them will become obsolete except for cinema?
No. Wow.
I think there'll be a place. They probably will change, but there'll be a place for them all.
I'm just thinking, with a laptop and an internet connection, you could easily replace TV, radio, books, but you can't replicate the cinema experience with a laptop, can you?
But you've got a beamer right up there.
Not everyone can afford projectors.
No, true. Price of them are coming down.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
But I think the you kind of hit on the point yourself around the experience. So the different forms of media, they have their own experience with them. Some people like picking up a newspaper and reading the physical print on a page. Now, whilst I will totally agree that I think the longevity of print media is going to struggle because of ecological issues, because of the advancement of technology, I think it will be quite some time before we see something like newspapers and print periodicals from disappearing from the shelves.
I used to hate reading on an electronic device, but now we have white letters on a black background. My eyes don't sting anymore.
Absolutely. You may get a time in the future where things like newspapers are actually on e-ink.
Oh, you mean augmented reality?
No, not necessarily. I'm thinking you buy a newspaper, and then you could then subscribe to a service that at different times of the day or the week will actually populate the contents of your e-ink newspaper with whatever periodical you want to read.
So but do I you think that as projectors get cheaper, eventually even cinema could become obsolete?
I don't think so. I think what happens is it will change. So for example, when podcasts came along, people were saying, oh, well, that's the end of radio. But then what the radio stations did is they started turning their programmes into podcasts.
Yeah.
So I think and then your television used to be these wiggly-woggly things would come through the air called radio waves or something like that, and they would turn into pictures. But now it comes in through a wire, and you get to choose what you want. So when you want. I think it's very hard to. I mean, I think you should go back. I would like to go back and listen to futurologists from 40, 80 years ago. Mm. It's really funny, you know, because as we all know, we're all lazing about bored because all the robots are doing all our work for us. You know, that's what was predicted for now, wasn't it?
Didn't Thomas Edison think the gramophone was going to be mainly used as an office dictation machine and for talking books for blind people? He never thought that it would be mainly used for music.
Yeah, probably. And I think computers would never be of any use in the home was another thing that was said by IBM in the 60s or maybe even early 70s. So, yeah, who knows? But one thing for sure, it will change them. It will change how we use them.
I think cinema's already changing because if you think a few years ago, you'd go to the cinema, that's the only time you'd be able to see that film.
Yeah.
For a good maybe 8 to 12
years
before it came out on physical media or... But now it's streaming sometimes weeks after its release, so
sometimes before it's released, depends on who's releasing it.
It's already changing, but the people that still go to the cinema go for that experience.
Precisely,
yes,
the biggest
absolutely.
Screen, the popcorn, the drinks, that sort of thing.
The lower bank balance.
Yeah. On the other hand, the opposite of that is I see the expat communities and work hiring a movie theatre to play their home movies streamed onto the movie theatre because they can have that shared experience of being in the theatre and enjoying that experience.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, just before we move on, sorry, just to get back to George's question so I can answer that. It was just, I was listening to the Music Tribe podcast I mentioned, and then I got into Tux Radar, and there was a bunch of podcasts and all this. And the thing is, I remember we used to also do IRC, especially with between the podcast and Rattle Radio. And we started, this was one night or Sunday night, Rattle Radio, and we're really getting to a tech talk. And the thing is, it was really good. And Dan actually cut the tech talk out. He said, no, stop, this isn't a Linux show. He says, it's a music show, let's stop the... And I was thinking, wait a minute, I want that. I want a Linux show that has music in it. Because I started looking for it. Kept on looking. No, it's nothing. So that was when actually the idea Tux Jam came about. Was purely something I wanted. And I ended up didn't get it, I ended up doing it. So, sorry, George, it was just you had been cut up, so I thought, I'll get back to you.
You're good.
Right, sorry, Ken, what were you saying?
No, that was good. I wanted to know how it ended up.
Yeah, so
however, it does make me have to subscribe to your feed twice, once so I can speed up the music. Or you're talking two times and then one for the music. This is where you say you already have two feeds and I don't need to do that.
Well, there are three feeds.
Technically, we've got three, yes.
Because, it started off purely as an oddcast, but why did we go MP3? I can't even remember why or when.
I remember when, I can't remember why.
I don't have a clue.
Oh, it was because of people like Yannick, basically, that have...
have MacBook. Yes, that's actually a point, yes.
Apple devices.
Yeah.
By default, iOS doesn't support...
And then somebody else was saying... Somebody else said they wanted to hear the full drivel. I said, seriously, that'll take hours.
Yeah.
So we released the uncut feed, and it was proved quite popular, actually.
Yeah. People are strange.
Yes, people are strange.
Is there music in the uncut feed?
Yes. I pop the music into it, but that's the only thing I do.
Yeah, it's the completely unedited recording. It is an absolute hoot.
Yes. Do you use chapter marks? Have you looked at putting chapter marks in?
No, we don't at the moment.
That might be something to actually think about.
Yeah, it's not so relevant for HBR because we know is the intro and outro. But for you guys,
yeah, it might actually be something. That's actually a worthwhile.
That's a good idea.
That's a good idea. Yeah, I hadn't even thought of it.
Down for the music.
Hadn't even thought of it. Mm. Is that us? Right. Well, again, wait a sec. Just before we go, if you do want to contact the show in any way, at TuxJam, you can email us, tuxjam@otherside.network. If you want to get in contact with us, we actually do have a Mastodon account that it'll ping any of us. It's at podcast.social. Right, I always get that mixed up. I always do the wrong one.
And we have stickers as well.
Oh, we have stickers! Stickers! So everybody who comes gets a free sticker to prove you are here. So, so before you go out, if you would like to come up and give Alice a sec. We haven't finished. I was going to say.
All right,
if you insist. So. We'll sign out. We'll sign out with a track.
Oh, I was hoping you'd forget this, but anyway, okay. So, the track is called Sir Monique, which is Saint Monique or Sister Monique rather, by Dutch name coming up, by Hanneke van Proosdijk.
Perfect. That is exactly how I would have
known. Oh, thank you. wait. Now the reason I picked this is she was taught by Jacques Ogg. OGG. And Jack Ogg may or may not have been camp. Don't know.
See what you did there.
Thank you so much, guys. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you. Thank you.
There's a missing old
guy. You can stop now.
Sorry.
Turn him off.
We actually had Chalcolum on there.
Oh, excellent.
I was watching.
Is that why you name checked it?
No, actually, it was just after he was name checked. I looked and I went, oh, there's Chalcolum right there.
I appreciate your brilliance.
Oh, Chalcolum, what?
I can't find it.
Oh, you're still looking. Wait a minute.
That's literally brilliant.
For a change.
I'm still recording that. I've got that.
Hang on, that was actually, but that sounded like a surprise. That was actually brilliant.
Here we go. We have stickers, right? We have stickers, folks.
So I never got a chance to stay there. You want to try and have a drink of image.
He didn't record.
You've been listening to a member of the Other Side Podcast Network. Find more about our shows at othersidenetwork.com.